The Jack B Show, where pit smarts meet street smarts. Now, here's your host, Jack Berusian.
And welcome, everybody, and happy Tuesday to you. We'll call this one the 19th of March. I'm Jack Berusian. Welcome to the Jack B Show. Again, the show where we try to bring pit smarts, street smarts, hopefully meet them somewhere in the middle and come up with a little bit of everything for you on a day where there's a lot of news out there, folks. We got a two-day Fed meeting starting, and there is so much information. In fact, it's almost information overload coming out of Europe, and it's probably one of the best days that I can think of to bring in our special guest for the half hour, for the 45 minutes or so of the show here, and he'll get on in just a couple of minutes. But that's Alan Rohrbach. You know, our good friend, of course, I call him the Europhile. A man knows more about what's going on out in Europe and those markets than just about anybody I know. But the situation that is running things right now, folks, seems to be coming out of Cyprus on the one hand, all right? And on the other hand, it's what I've been talking about, which is starting to get a little traction amongst those, I guess, portfolio managers that I talk to, and that is the Basel III Accords, which are going to start to come into play the first week of the second quarter. So it's one of the reasons why we have seen institutions sitting on a ton of cash. But it's very interesting, only because for that reason, I think that we're starting to get what I call the pent-up type of reaction, where we'll end up seeing that spring loaded for a lot of that cash that's going to be hitting the market. But it's not only equities that seem to be acting real strange. Bonds, too, folks. If you've noticed, you know, even though the markets have not really done what you would think, then today was a perfect example of how the markets are playing off of just about every headline out of Cyprus. You know, we saw the markets selling off this morning. They came back, then they sold off again, all right? And then, of course, when Cyprus voted, and they voted just a little while ago and rejected this levy that they were going to impose, and once that happened, the market turned around again, and it went right back up. And I got to make sure that I let people, you know this. This is not on big volume, all right? This is very light volume going into the end of the quarter, which is surprising. You would expect to see a little bit more, but, you know, it is one of those, I guess, very strange situations that puts a black cloud over the investment community. And what I mean by that is it just doesn't allow people to pull the trigger. They end up becoming very, very shy and quite frankly, very confused. And you know what? Let's bring Alan Rohrbach in here because it's probably the best time to bring him in. Alan, by the way, first of all, always good to see you and always
and
glad
you,
to have
Jack.
You on.
Pleasure to be here.
You know, I am glad that you're on today. You know, yesterday when I walked in, the market was down 20 handles. Somebody told me that the whole European situation was on the forefront again. And I said, wait a second. I said, you're talking about Cyprus. It's no bigger than Vermont. But more importantly, you know, to be honest with you, their debt-to-GDP ratio was absolutely putrid. And more importantly for that, I don't think it was a big deal. But sure enough, the market seems to be acting on every headline we see coming out of there. So, you know, give me a quick overview. Let's start with that, of what the situation in Cyprus is really all about. Explain it, and let's break it down for the listeners. And then let's talk about what some of these ancillary effects are, the worry of the contagion going into Spain and Italy, and then talk about what's going on with our markets on top of that.
Well, you know, there's quite a bit there, Jack, on Cyprus being ultimately so small that when they said, ultimately, we cannot be worried about the euro dissolving if Greece has to go, because we can work around it, because Greece is not very big. Well, Cyprus makes Greece look like the United States. I mean, it is really puny. What, they got 2 million people there?
Well, it's not only that. It's really the assets that you had on the books. There's a lot of new money there. You and I know that. In
fact, hot money.
Well,
hot
it's money. Funny because, you know, it was, I think it was, what's his name? The guy, the Gardner, the guy that runs the, that writes the report. What's his name? On CNBC. He writes the letter, the commodities letter.
Oh, Gartman.
Gartman. Gartman said something yesterday that absolutely I fell out of my chair laughing. And he said, there is no way in heck that they are going to do this because nobody steals from the Russian mafia and gets away with it. Because that's essentially what you're looking at. You're looking at 30% Russian deposits over there.
Well, and that's what happened here is that it's one thing to say, well, you have to support a banking system that's loaning money to businesses in a particular country that is functional part of the economy. But Cyprus banks have been insolvent for a while. But the way they keep at least earning money in the near term is being able to allow a certain number of, you know, less than scrupulous practices. People think there's tax avoidance, think there's money laundering going on. I don't know if any is. You know, that's what they say. But the key is that, once again, Europe looked the other way on allowing this to go on because they didn't want the Cyprus banks to be completely defunded of the deposits. They allowed these big offshore depositors, substantially Russian community, but others as well, to come in. Now, what someone said is, well, they ignored it for so long. Why are they suddenly demanding Cyprus stop this or come up with, tax it effectively by putting through these levies on the deposits? Someone said, well, the attitude of Europe was, as long as it's keeping Cyprus liquid, keeping the banks earning money, if it ain't broke, don't look at it.
Well, I like that. You know what? That's actually a good line. In fact, I might just steal that a little later on.
I stole it from the guy.
I'll be doing CNBC Asia later on today. I'll be co-hosting for the first half hour. For those of you, by the way, that want to watch either or, you could watch it on tape. It's always archived. You could always go to the Jack B Show site, which you're on now, or to the CNBC site. Alan, one of the things that people don't understand, and if you could help explain to us, is how Cyprus got into this problem. Is it because of Greek debt? Are they just loaded up with bad paper? What is it? I mean, we understood what happened back in 08, where we were, the tranches of bad paper that we were selling to Iceland and the rest of it. What exactly is it with the problems in Cyprus? What is it that is driving these banks insolvent?
Well, just the fact that the banks took on as part of that entire fudge where even the weaker sisters in Europe ending up loaning money in the form of taking on the bank debt of the weaker banks in other countries. You know, when they used to put these things together, Jack, they'd go, well, Germany's going to put up 34% and France is going to put up 28%. And then Italy's going to put up 17%. And the rest of it's going to come from other players. Well, Cyprus, Spain, Portugal, they're putting up money to help bail out the banks by buying the paper of the banks in Greece. And it's like, well, wait a minute, that just means their banks are burdened with a high yielding but insolvent piece of paper. So when they did the whole Greek haircut, when they did the Greek debt deal that involved the forced haircuts on depositors, all those banks in those other countries took the hit. Now, in Italy and even Portugal and Ireland, they could afford to take the write-down. Once they wrote it down in Cyprus, there was nothing left. And that is the problem. You have what is a little
bit of a...
See,
that's a very good point. That's something that people have not talked about on TV. You know, all we hear about is the Cyprus situation, but nobody's broken it down quite like you just did. That's very important. I mean, the fact is that this has been coming for a while, hasn't it?
Well, it has been coming for a while, and it's continued in the background. You know, the whole time the market's been going up, and I'm not saying it's done going up yet. You know, we can discuss something.
Well, we'll talk about that later on the show.
Technicals later, because it generally takes more than one crisis focus to derail the stock market because of all the QE. We've discussed this before, but what we've had here is a situation where, as you know, as the market's been going up, every time they get through resistance, as the good technician, I say, you know, what do we say back in January? The bulls made their case on the 2nd of January. You know, that was it. Served notice on the bears. They got above 1475. We said, hey, they're going up to 1530. When they got through 1530, we said, hey, 1558 to 1570, which is we pretty much made it to 58 in the June contract last week as part of it topping out. But what happens along the way, as I've said to you, but Jack, there are these fundamental fragility underneath the market due to what they've done to, kick the can down the road or fudge things in Europe temporarily and here and there.
Well, here,
you're going to have stuff popping up.
Let's stay in Europe because I'm watching the euro getting clobbered against the dollar. And, you know, all I can think to myself is that, boy, the export numbers are going to be great coming out of Germany and out of Northern Europe. Now, I mean, how much of that will be played into what's going on, I guess, number one? And number two, is there any real fear of a contagion, or is this an isolated case in Cyprus? Because that's the real question mark, I think, over people's, you know, when people are talking about this situation. Are we going to see it in Spain or Portugal or Italy? I mean, I happen to think, no, it's an isolated case, but I'd love to hear your take on it.
Well, those are obviously two closely related questions. They're very good ones. And when you say, well, what is the real problem? The real problem is it's not what they did, it's how they did it. And I know you've probably already discussed this since yesterday, but just to throw it out there in the most concise single-line terms, you don't mess with guaranteed deposits. Psychologically, it's a bad thing. And so Steve Leisman on CNBC, and it's something I've used often, you've used it as well, but yesterday he was the first one I heard come up with the line about, what can we say about the Europeans? I mean, and this means Christine Lagarde, head of the IMF, very smart woman, and the guys at the ECB and the German finance people, and they all got together and said, well, we can't have the German public and the Nordic public funding the guaranteeing the money laundering for these offshore people who have these deposits in Cyprus, because we're a little bit sick to death of the a moral hazard in the first place. But when they all got around to this, the incredibly stupid things really smart people do from time to time, and Leisman said, all you can say about Europe is they've spent so much time and money and effort and so beautifully finessed Draghi over at the ECB, this whole calming of concerns about European banks. What a way to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory.
You know, I'm glad you said that about deposits, because all I could think about is, that's a sign of totalitarianism, really, when you
Jack,
come in.
It gets down to
socialism. I hate to
socialism.
Say it, but that is just, that's worse than socialism
to me. And
that's
when you ask, what's
You're
the,
confiscating
you
wealth.
You asked me before.
That's Cheka stuff. That's Stalin stuff.
What's the real problem with the banks? The problem isn't the problem with the banks. The problem is the problem with the entire political economic structure. And what this highlights, and I hope, hello, Mr. Obama and friends, I hope this highlights for all the people here, like Conjures out of Michigan once again said, you know, the debt, it gets big. What's the problem? I hope this highlights for everybody that socialist tendencies, whether you're an outright communist or open socialist, or you're just, spending 25% of GDP on government services, whatever it is, initially people complain, oh, it's a heavy tax. This illustrates that as you extend the line down to its ultimate conclusion, it's a confiscatory program.
Yeah.
Period.
Well, you know what? I've said that all along. In fact, you know, everything that I'm seeing coming out of Europe doesn't surprise me. I think that the situation probably plays right into, if I'm right, and you tell me if I'm right, Cyprus has always been one of those little havens. That's why you've got
always.
That's why you've got a lot of British money. You've got a lot of UK money there because they don't want to pay their 60% tax.
They domicile there.
So they go
right,
over there.
Exactly.
Well,
they
you know
retire
what?
There. Now they're all pulling their money out and want to go home.
Well, you know, and they don't mind paying the big tax because they know that no one's going to confiscate it from them.
Well, and the other thing, that's what we're going to have to look at, because that gets to the second part of the question you asked before. Why is there such a market impact? Because even if it's for a minor entity like Cyprus, we have to see what happens Thursday when they reopen the banks, and I hope they don't keep them closed any longer than that, and what happens with the lines out the door where people are just saying, I don't care if the finance minister is saying, this is unique. You can be assured it's only a one-time situation. It's a unique situation. They all start lining up, taking their money out, and even worse, people who won't be standing in line, people who will be having the back offices, direct wire transfers, if those major offshore depositors all say, hey, we're not making enough on it, you know, in terms of what we're saving by shipping it in here, to take a 12 or 14 or 15% haircut and make it worth our while, you know, we'll put the money back where we'll put it into another haven. you know, we'll take it to the
Caymans. Well, that's really the key, is putting it into another haven, because quite frankly, in many cases, these people are avoiding serious tax consequences where they live. And, you know, look, it's something that the IRS here has cracked down on. You know, we haven't seen them crack down on it in Europe because, you know, they're still Luxembourg.
It's their banks.
Isle of Man. Yeah,
because
exactly
it's
right.
Swiss banks and other people like that. They don't want to crack down.
Well, you know what? I think it's only a matter of time. And speaking of Swiss, and you know what? I know we're running at the end of this segment. I do want to switch gears and talk a little bit about Basel III, only because, you know, and Alan, I don't know if you're familiar with what's going on, but a lot of what Basel III is going to, I guess, you know, take place with, as far as the regulators go, it takes effect the first week of April. And we have got institutions that are sitting on a ton of cash instead of putting that money to work because they want to be able to look at the regulators and say, look, we are sitting on a ton of cash and we don't have a problem. I want to get your take on that and then also maybe touch a little bit more about what's going on out in Europe and then switch gears to the Fed because we've got this two-day Fed meeting.
That's
going
to be big.
And I'm really curious to get your take on that. Again, this is the Jack B. Show, folks. We're going to take a couple of minutes. Don't go away. I got a lot more coming for you.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on the Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
When it comes to trading and investing, education is the key to success. But with so many trading schools out there, how do you know which one is right for you? Hi, I'm Greg Hadley, president of Bull & Bear Institute. Bull & Bear Institute was designed by traders for traders. We give you the comprehensive education you need to trade successfully with confidence. Our classes are taught by professional traders with over 100 years of combined experience in the capital markets. Get results. We teach you how to identify price movements and take advantage of it using futures, options, stocks, and ETFs. Develop the knowledge, patience, and discipline it takes to spot the right time to act. Call 855-Y-TRADE or go to bullandbearinstitute.com to sign up for a free subscription to our exclusive newsletter. Flexible day and evening classes are always available. Call 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-949-8723 or go to bullandbearinstitute.com.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the Jack B. Show on this Tuesday, where we watch the market, you know, kind of flatlining. Although these commodities were getting hit again because of the strong dollar, a lot of that due to the fact that we have seen that. What Alan Rohrbach was perfectly laying out for us, the situation in Europe and the possible run that we might see on banks when they open again in Cyprus on Thursday, if they do open on Thursday. I guess that's the other question. But, Alan, let's switch gears a little bit. And I was mentioning Basel III. Why don't you tell the listeners, let's talk for maybe a minute or two about Basel III. And because do you understand it the way I understand it? And, you know, you said something in the break about the Jamie Dimon approach. Why don't you repeat that to the listeners? Because I thought that was very clever.
Well, what we have, thanks for that, Jack. What we have is something that J.P. Morgan has been a big proponent of, even though they're catching some heat right now for the London Whale trade, and maybe there was a little lack of oversight. But for the most part, J.P. Morgan, you'll recall, during the crisis, going back in 08, was one of the firms, unlike Citibank, Morgan Stanley, etc., who did not really need the money, did not need the $25 billion they were throwing at each of the firms saying, hey, you know, everyone's got to take it that way.
If I remember his quote, when they gave him the money, they asked him what he's going to do with it. He said nothing. Absolutely
right.
Nothing.
I'm going to shore up my balance sheet.
Yeah.
So you guys want us to look stronger? I'll look stronger. I don't need the money. Now, what's happened since then is J.P. Morgan has been very diligent, along with some other banks. You know, Wells Fargo has been doing very well in the part of the housing business that they're really focused upon and do well with mortgages, and they're mostly domestic. They don't have the exposure to Europe. Everyone can note how Wells Fargo does not get hit as bad as the other financials every time one of these European fandangos dances across the screens for a little while. But what we have is someone asked Jamie Dimon what his goal was, saying you have a very large balance sheet, you know, more than your minimum capital requirements by a good margin. He said, that's right, fortress balance sheet. So if anything should come along, either macroeconomic influence or some problem crops up in a wing of my bank, I am not going to sit here and have to worry about what everyone's going to worry about, whether, oh, J.P. Morgan Chase is solvent. J.P. Morgan Chase is viewed as a bank that they may, you know, be up or down in the stock movement based on people figuring how their earnings are going from various, various of their functions. But no one's walking around thinking, oh, if their economy turns down, Morgan's one of the banks you got to worry he's going to go under. Fortress balance sheet.
I like it. In fact, I think that's exactly what's happening across the board right now. It's one of the reasons why the market seems to be spinning its wheels a little bit now over at least these next couple of weeks. It's completely different than what you would expect. You would expect to see a bit of a melt-up if it was not for these Basel III Accords, the fact that there's going to be some checks the first week of the second quarter of the year, I would think that we'd see the market going up between now and the end of the quarter. I think it's one of the reasons why we're not seeing that happen. But I want to talk about that later on. I want to switch gears a little bit. I want to talk about the Fed. We got a two-day Fed meeting that started. And, you know, you were talking about QE a little while ago, Alan. And you know what? I was on Larry Kudlow's radio show with Michael Farr over the weekend. And,
sure.
I really love being on with Michael Farr. Michael Farr was basically saying, you know, the market's going up because of QE. And I said, you know, Michael, I said, I respect you a lot, but I got to tell you something. You know, I don't see it, all right? And I'll tell you why. The companies in my mind that are doing well don't need QE. They don't care if the money is cheap or not. They're sitting on a ton of cash, not only here, but abroad. So I guess what I'm trying to say is this rally that I'm seeing is not a Fed-induced rally. And Alan, I'd love to get your take on that. That's my opinion.
Well, you make a good point, Jack, on the corporate side. And, you know, he made a mistake, I think. Michael might have misspoke, or, you know, maybe it's what he meant, but I think in that case he might be misguided when he says the economy's up only because of QE. The financial markets are up because of QE.
Well, why? Why do you think that?
Zero interest rate environment.
But
I cannot make any money having it sit in the bank or sit in CDs.
To that point. You have got corporations making money all over the world. The corporations like a Caterpillar that makes 90% of their money abroad, they don't care whether we have a zero interest rate environment. The money that is being made in corporate America, in my opinion, is not because of a zero interest rate environment. I guess what I'm saying is I can see where the competition for capital would lead money to the market because of the returns, but I don't see it as one of the sole factors.
Oh, it's not singular. No, there's no doubt you're right about that. It is not singular. I think the dilemma gets back to something that's a real gray area, you know, and it's one of those how many angels can dance on the head of a pin considerations, but it is very much so the quality of earnings. Now, there are some companies who are just knocking the cover off the ball. You know, you look at some of the...
Consistently. And they have been for the last few years.
The successful electronics companies. You know, by the time Samsung owns the market in China and everyone replacing phones over there wants more Samsung phones...
Well, how about cloud spending? You got out of the Fortune 500, 350 will spend $1 billion or more on cloud over the course of the next 2 years.
Exactly. So there is a viable business, but it's more like... the mainstream business. It's more so the things that are consumer durables that are not really doing that well. As a matter of fact, they had industrial production numbers out for Italy today, interesting aside. And what they found was the numbers came in better than expected. But then they said, well, that was on a recalibration of, and again, this is Europe. So you might say, well, that's because it's Europe and it's weak. But it was most interesting. This was on a recalibration where they somehow reconfigured the entire basis for the numbers, and they put a lot more of industrial production statistics on the energy sector. It's like, well, just because energy prices are going up and they're thriving, I don't necessarily take that as a sign your industrial production's really good. But what they also saw in the actual statistics on this reset they did was that you had weakness in consumer durables. And you had, as a matter of fact, I have the note on it right here. Give me 1 second.
I'm just saying I just love the fact that they're doing this before I end up going to Italy for a couple of weeks with my wife because they're taking the price of this trip down
for
me.
True.
Which I can use every penny, so that's okay.
Right.
But
what they found is that even though they put more emphasis on energy, the non-durables were up. Consumer durables... capital goods and energy consumption were all down.
Oh.
And this is where you see what's happened here.
And Italy is a very, the northern Italy is a manufacturing powerhouse. I mean, people don't realize that, but that is really, it's also the wealthiest country in Europe. People don't realize that. They have the most concentration of wealth in the world.
The government's broke, the banks are sketchy, but the
actual people,
personal
yeah, the
wealth
people,
is
the
big.
People, that's exactly right.
But,
it's amazing.
But the point is the degree to which everyone's still feeling they can't trust the top-line growth. That the companies have done well because managers have found ways to control costs, use more technology. One of the most interesting things that came out that, as a matter of fact, I think it was – no, it wasn't yesterday. It was last week. Once again, our friend Leisman over at CNBC.
I like Steve. Steve's a good guy. He's a good man, too.
And he keeps hunting. And you know what? He's a good researcher, and he's a good quick response on the drill down. He's great when reports come out because he can give you the real breakdown.
Well, he's a real economist. He knows his stuff.
And also spent quite a bit of time in Russia. So he knows real economics and made-up economics. But also what he said was they had the business roundtable. Now, this is big business. And what they say? We're going to do some more capital investment. We're going to do some more spending on equipment. Our hiring plans, zero. There will be 0% increase by these major corporations. So you're right.
You know what?
They can make money, but they're doing it with technology. And at some point, that lack of those bigger corporate jobs playing in with small businesses stressed, it raises questions.
It does, and you know, but those questions I think are always going to be there. They're growing pains, especially as we see technology, you know, in what could be, in hindsight, the biggest revolution since the Industrial Revolution. All right, let's take a few minutes here, come back, finish up this talk on the Fed, and then talk about the markets.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt. debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before, this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com. And start earning great money as soon as next week.
Hey folks, Jack Barugin here, host of the Jack B Show. One of the questions that people ask most often is, how do you learn about the markets? Well, the people at the Bull and Bear Institute have probably one of the best course curriculums that I have ever come across to teach people about the capital markets. With over 100 years of combined experience, their staff brings a wealth of information to each and every Bull and Bear Institute course. So whether you're trading futures, options, stocks, ETFs, whether you're thinking about trading them, whether you have your money with a registered investment advisor, I would highly recommend that you go out there and learn exactly what is going on. These are classes that are both live and online, AM and PM. So do yourself a favor, folks. Contact these people and understand what is going on in your financial world. Again, the Bull and Bear Institute, 855-Y-TRADE. That's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000, please write down this phone number. It's time to deal with your IRS problems today. Call Certified Tax now for help in all 50 states. Certified Tax's tax attorneys and experts will contact the IRS on your behalf the same day that you become a client. Isn't it time to face your IRS problems? Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 800-570-5115. That's 1-800-570-5115. Again, 800-570-5115.
And now back to the Jack B Show.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody, to the second half of the Jack B Show. And I'm sitting here with Alan Rohrbach. Of course, you can always read him at Roar-blog. He's the founder of Roar International, one of the best bloggers, I think, on the street. And Alan, let's finish talking about this Federal Reserve. We've got a two-day meeting that started today. You were saying something in the break that, again, I thought was absolutely great, and I want you to repeat it. You said, you know, what could be better for Uncle Ben than what's going on right now? Why don't you explain that a little bit, because I think that that was right,
on. I like the Uncle Ben metaphor, Jack, because he's going to be all over continued QE like white on rice. He is – let him question him tomorrow on – well, you know, our weekly employment claims are down a bit and the rate is dropping. Don't you think you're too carried away in this Fed balance sheet? And he's going to look at him. I'm predicting the headlines here. Bernanke tells Congress, buzz off.
Buzz off. I've got a dollar going up. I've got interest rates staying down.
I have obvious stresses in the rest of the
world. And new highs in the stock market.
And beside that, I also have... But all of that could be, you know, another bubble. They could say, well, you just created an air bubble. He could say, you can see what I'm dealing with here, fellas. I got a Chinese stock market. Not what's going good. What's going wrong everywhere else? Do you want me in the one place where things are going right?
No, that's right.
To start withdrawing accommodation and create worries?
So this is playing right into his hands.
I think loving this.
He's going to have a big smile on his face, basically.
Put it this way. Bernanke's walking around right now going, this didn't happen. I would have had to have caused it. Yeah. If it didn't happen on its own, I would have figured out a way to cause something like this somewhere.
Well, what's it mean for markets here? Let's get into the talk, because you know that, I know that's where a lot of the listeners are, and they just want to know what it really means for their positions, their portfolios. Give me your take on where you think things are heading. You know, does this put a floor under the market? Does it? Are you worried about what I was talking about earlier with Basel III holding the market back a little bit? And I guess better yet, what I was saying to the listeners, and I'd love for you to comment on this, is that a market that only pulls back anywhere from 3 to 5%, we didn't even get that this time, is indicative of a bull market that doesn't let people in.
Well, and even more so if it only pulls back a couple of percent. That's the bigger issue. But we have gone from, relatively speaking, 1560 to 1530 now. So it's getting to be...
It's about 2%.
It's about 2%. As importantly, just to cut to the chase on the technical discussion, pushing up as we did on the lead contract, the March contract prior to expiration, up to approximately 1564 or so, the June contract never got out late last week, you know, on Thursday when it made the highs. It never got out. Even after a very good retail sales figure here on Friday, It never got out above 1558 area, and that's one of our key areas. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, that's the top. We've stalled at areas, like we're looking at 1530.
Right.
They had a very nice $50 pullback. Thank you very much.
Yep.
And then they went back up. But what we have is a situation where if they hold the support, if the second month, now we had the expiration last week, if we hold the support on the second month, which is now lead contract, this is June S&P 500 future, it tends to want to go back up to the lead contract levels. And indeed, the higher resistances are up around 1,570. Now, here we're sitting at 1,540, having been down to one of the key areas. 1,532 is the low of the day from back on March 5th.
When the 1,532 level, I remember
that. The March contract, we had discussed that previous. And also, if you look on the gap up on the June contract on March 5th, it has support back down into the mid-1520s. So what we have is a market that's in a classical Jack Borusian. Jack's taking ownership of this now, folks. A Jack Borusian ABC correction. And the first wave down was yesterday's sharply lower activity on the short term, the 1538. And then they rallied all up into late yesterday, held up early today. That was your B. That was your bounce from the initial sell-off.
You're liking that, Alan. You like that little ABC type of correction there.
I've seen those before, but I like that you have seem to have adopted it, Jack. It's
well,
a nice thing.
You know what? For me, and the reason I brought it up is because whenever we see powerful bulls, I was always taught to look for that type of correction.
Right.
And that's usually, you know, what you get. So, and it doesn't, and getting back to what I was saying earlier, it doesn't let people in.
Right.
I love it when it just continues to go up like this because everyone's waiting for that 10% pullback and they never get it.
And what's happening here is as long as the June S&P future respects either 1532, the low today, or even if there's some leakage below it, into even as low as 1525 or so, it is still that minor correction that's only retesting the levels that it back on March 5th, it showed it was able to escape the previous range. So if it's only getting back near the previous range and holding the gaps it left, then it's ready to go back up. Now, again, the Cyprus situation, you know, these European problems tend to follow a typical cycle of you've got between 3 and 5 days of trouble and worry, then somehow between the Northern European strong sister economies and the ECB and the IMF, they all come up with a solution. Everyone finally says, good, it's solved. So I'd look for a bit more downside, but if you're not below 1525, we can think about them going back to the highs the June hit last week around 1558 and even push up to the higher resistances, consistent with the overbought condition they had last spring.
I think it makes perfect sense for them to pull back where they pulled back. In fact, as a bull, as a raging bull, which I am, I think that that is one of the healthier things that can happen for them to stall exactly where they're at right now.
Right. And then spend a few days leaving everybody worried. And by, I don't know, by Friday, but by early next week, something happens over the weekend. Europe calms things down. They're headed back up. Everyone's talking about all the problems you still have. But here's the difference. Next time up to a new high, up into 1570, 75, maybe 80 at best, they're going to be up into the higher resistances that in the past on the oscillator, on being stretched out against that longer-term 41-week average, they put in the bigger corrections. But think about it, 1570, 1580, what if you finally get your 5 or 7 or even, well, it won't be a 10% correction, I don't think, but you'll get, you tend to get 100 to 120 point downdrafts. 1470 to 1450, that would still be a correction within a broader bull. You know, as we discussed on Market Update when you had me on.
No. In fact, you know what, that makes sense. The question I'm going to ask, though, and I want you to think about this as we're finishing this segment and getting into the next one, is what do you do as we see a market breaking out to new all-time highs? All right, because I know that we're getting very close in the S&P, all right, and you know we're almost there. As a chartist, Alan, all right, what is it that you do? How do you prepare for that? Or because there are no more real levels of resistance. There are no former levels of support that you can actually work against. So what is it that you do in that situation?
It's a great question, Jack, because so many people then say, well, there is no resistance because we've never been here before. And that's not true. That's exactly where what we just discussed, those oscillator levels, become very important, because no matter how much the market is not traded at a particular level before, so you can't say, well, it's resistance because we've seen them stall and fail at it. The truth is that you have seen them stretched out to that degree, and that's where we have the oscillator.
Hey, I want you to hang on to that thought. Let's take a few minutes here, and then when we come back, I want to finish this discussion on how you chart a market that's breaking to new all-time highs. This is The Jack B. Show. Don't go away.
The Jack B. Show will return after a few words from our sponsors.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-560-3420. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-560-3420. That's 800-560-3420. Again, 800-560-3420.
Hello, listeners. It's Sarah Ritz here. You might know me as Little Miss Market on The Jack B. Show. Don't forget, Capstone Financial School is currently offering a special rate for any consumer education, personal finance, or investing course to our listeners. If you are concerned about your financial future and need help, our 10-hour course will show you how to get the best rates, including credit scores, credit cards, auto loans, student loans, cell phone plans, renting versus buying, and record keeping to investing with low risk, high probability. The school offers a one-on-one consultation. Before entering a class, we will find out what your needs are and how to apply that information to your education experience. Our school admission counselors are available for questions regarding availability, and special rates are being offered. Also, don't forget about our Give a Free Class to a Vet program. For further details, visit our website at www.capstonefinancialschool.com or call 855-411-3232.
Are you working harder than ever at your job, but find yourself getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our free information, you can lead a happier life, work from home, and start earning money as soon as next week.
I was a traditional business owner, and our business was affected greatly by the economy, so we were looking for another income stream. It allowed me to actually walk away from a 16-year career and part owner in a traditional business just after 8 months.
Go to freedom27.com, get out of the rat race, work from home, and start earning great money as soon as next week.
I'm a single mom. Before this business, I was over $90,000 in credit card debt alone. And now we go to Disneyland, Disney World. We've been on vacations to Hawaii. I never could have done that before this business.
Go to freedom27.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 27.com. Freedom27.com and start earning great money as soon as next week.
Jack Marugin here. Most of you recognize me from the floor of the CME. There are a lot of trading schools out there, but I found one that actually works. The Bull & Bear Institute has the best curriculum to teach you about the capital markets, whether it's the basics of investing, intermediate or advanced trading techniques using stocks, options, ETFs, futures, and Forex. BBI has it all. So call the folks at the Bull & Bear Institute at 855-Y-TRADE. Tell them Jack B sent you and get 50% off that first course. Again, that's 855-Y-TRADE, 855-949-8723.
And now back to the Jack B. Show.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, as we wrap it up here for this Tuesday. Again, as a programming note, you can always catch me doing the open markets three times a week. Openmarkets.com, I believe, is the site. It's the CME's content site. The wonderful people at the CME have gotten into a partnership with us here, and we are providing them with a market update three times a week. I love doing that. In fact, I've had Alan Rohrbach, who is our guest host for this hour, on that show a few times. And Alan, I was picking your brain a little bit right before we ended that last segment. I was actually wondering how you look at a market that's breaking out. Now, I've got the Russell making new all-time highs, the mid-cap making new all transports making all-time highs. You were talking about the oscillators. Now, is that the only thing that you look at? And why don't you give us a little bit of that before we kind of get into a review of what's coming out these next few days?
Two things on that. As a matter of fact, there's actually a couple things in market levels I'd like to go over right as we get into the information, because the data is very clear-cut what's coming up. But yes, the oscillators. Where has the market been previous on a differential to its longer-term trend, even if it's at a new all-time high? The other thing you use long-term channel lines. You go on your weekly charts and see where were the big lows of the pullbacks in a bull market, and you run the parallel line to the uptrend off those lows, off the top. That's similar to the oscillator, though. That's about the same thing. Now, some people, and I'm not a big user of it, but, you know, Fibonacci's, everyone talks about, well, it's a 25% retracement, it's a one-third retracement, and all of that. Fibonacci also has, the Fibonacci series, as a way you can take the overall swing in a move after it rests for a while on the top of the swing and project how much further it might go on the upside. So there are Fibonacci extensions rather than corrections. Some people use that.
That's good to know. Because, see, I always wondered about that because, I look at support and resistance, but I always wondered when the market's breaking out. Because I remember there was a time when the NASDAQ was taking out 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, and I was on CNBC, and they said, Jack, is there any resistance? I said, throw the charts away because this is just ridiculous stuff. I mean, I was adamant about that because I just had no clue.
And back in the late 90s, you were right. Actually, they set new oscillator extremes too.
Yeah,
and those kind
of
moves that'll happen. Or the German Bunds falling apart after German unification. The previous they'd been below was about 3 to 3.5 points below the 41-week average. When they break it, then you see what the previous differential was. When they went from 1.5, they'd go to 3 to 3.5. When they broke 3.5, you go, you have to figure another point or point and a half. Sure enough, they went to 5 under. So you can put the next quantum extension in at times.
That's good to know.
Two things on the markets I think you'll like a lot before we get to what's coming up. One is, you mentioned the euro. Very important, especially in the current context, is the reason the dollar index is so strong is not most other currencies. This is about euro secular weakness against everything, and it's a big component of the dollar index. So watch euro to the dollar, folks. It's slipping below a major up channel line, those parallel channel supports, at about 129.5, but has an important tolerance at 128.60. Now, that has been down to 128.44. It's currently at 128.90. Watch the euro in the next few days. See if it knocks out 128.60.
What's the big support in the euro that you'd be looking at? I know we got all the way down underneath 125, I think, at one point back in the when things were correcting.
It's actually, if it breaks 128.60, there was an up break in the mid-125 area. And there was previous heavy historic congestion around 125.
Well, 125 is big, and then I know 118, 120 is where it basically came out.
No,
so that was, to me, that's fair value. That's par, if you think about it, with the dollar.
Right. And now the other thing is to keep an eye on the bond market. Jack, our favorite thing.
What is going on?
Don't be short the bonds.
Look, I
got to
tell you,
break.
Alan, I think that goes along with what we were saying earlier with Basel III. I think that money is parked there temporarily. They don't keep it in cash. You and I know that they will put it into the 10-year.
Right.
And when they're showing the regulators how much their fortress balance sheet looks like, all right, it's going to be in the form of 10-year bills
right.
and booms. But I'm seeing good numbers coming out. I want to get your reaction on that. I mean, I'm getting a little optimistic. I talked about it yesterday. Larry Kudlow did a piece on it. And you know what? There's some optimism creeping in here.
There's some pretty good U.S. numbers. The problem is the global numbers are still, I mean, this week alone, they're so all over the map, it's incredible. You know, you get a good Japanese nationwide department store sales, but the leading and coincident index are no good. You get Eurozone construction output in the tank, German ZEW strong, but Pan-European ZEW in the tank. It's literally all over the map. You're at highly divergent numbers in terms of their extremes. So here, yes, the U.S. seems to be feeding itself, but the main thing was that retail sales number last week.
I remember you said that.
That really helps the bulls a lot. Anytime there isn't trouble elsewhere, they like that.
Well, I think the jobless claims number, the fact that we're getting some job creation, or so it seems, even
right.
in the face of Obamacare and other things that are keeping people from hiring.
And payroll tax.
And payroll tax. Like right, and all that. But
very, very important note here, Jack, that tomorrow They've changed the schedule for the rate announcement and statement.
Why don't you go over that so people know what's going on?
Well, originally you were going to have the
11:30 announcement, wasn't it?
11:30 announcement. Now it's going to be at 1 o'clock for both the rate decision or non-decision. They're not going to move it. And the statement, as well as the economic projections. And then at 1:30, Mr. Bernanke is going to start his press conference. So they finally did something rational and said, why are we doing something creating more uncertainty where people are trying to read tea leaves on the statement and having them wait for a couple hours before we come out with the press conference?
Is this going to be a press conference that Uncle Ben is going to get a cramp patting himself on the back, you think? I'm just curious.
I think more so he's going to use the global situation as a reason why, even though we're improving here, he has hard evidence now of the fragility elsewhere. And why would you have me withdraw any kind of accommodation when we're back to having concerns about the banking system, even if it's the banking system in Europe and the impact that might have, and with China looking like it's softening recently, and with the recent stress test showing, there are even still a couple of banks here that we want to take a more conservative path and rebuild their balance sheet.
Well, you know what? As far as China goes, and we can get into this in a little bit, I think, again, it was self-induced. They were worried about property values. They needed to slow that down. And as far as our markets go, you know, Alan, I think that your assessment is absolutely correct as far as what you're looking at. It's just a question for me of where and if we see a commitment on the part of those. But I would be remiss, folks, if I did not mention the fact that we have seen some of the best housing numbers that we have seen in 4.5 years. Housing looks like it's coming back.
What did they say today? Housing? Every time you build a house, you hire 5 people.
You know, that's,
and that's it.
That's
lots
it.
Lots of data on Thursday. Just to wrap it up, lots of European data, advanced PMIs, lots of U.S. data.
We this have existing home sales that day, too. So
if that's this market gets through Thursday, it's going to be good again.
Well, you know what? Thursday, again, it was also good. We also have Cyprus and the banks opening on Thursday.
That's it.
This is the Jack B. Show. That's it for me, folks. For Alan Rohrbach, have yourselves a marvelous night. We'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of this radio station or its sponsors and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investment advice. You should always consult the appropriate advisor before making any financial decisions. All rights reserved.